So you only live one moment, and this moment is your moment. And the only thing that you have in that moment is your choice. So if you can make a choice in this moment to stay positive and successful, your tomorrow is assured.
Do you need encouragement to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, this podcast is for you. Listen to powerful guests who have persevered through challenges so you can gain strength to build your championship life. The host of Professor of Perseverance Podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
All right, what time is it? It is, and I'm not wearing a watch, but it is the time for the Professor of Perseverance Podcast. I'm the Professor of Perseverance, Dr. James Perdue. Remember, you don't have to take a doctor seriously. I cannot write out a prescription for you, but I can drive you to your pharmacies and pick them up for you if you need me. Just let me know. Today's guest, man, this is going to be a good one. Boy, I like these type of guests, and this is going to be a good one. John, his name is John Davis. John, background as a stuntman, fight director, college professor, artistic director, and a comedian, makes him an intriguing guest that draws your audience in and delivers real-world techniques for overcoming self-imposed limitations and achieving maximum potential even in times of adversity. After a serious back injury that left him paralyzed, John developed his 5F system of achievements. All right, John Davis, welcome to the Professor of Perseverance Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here, James, and Doc, as I'll call you.
No, you just stick with the James. It's good for me. So I appreciate right, I appreciate the respect there. I appreciate that. So, all right, now let's go ahead. Let's jump into this back injury first, and we'll give some similarities and differences between you and me.
Sure. When I was 22 years old, I had a dream of being a stuntman, a fight director, doing crazy physical things with my body. And a buddy of mine called me up. He asked me to come help him unload a van that was full of boxes of clay. He was a professional potter. He made beautiful pottery. And I climbed up in that van, and I picked up an 80-pound box of clay. And when I lifted that 80-pound box of clay and then turned it outside of the van, my upper body separated from my lower body, and literally it just basically clicked off, and my upper spine fell off of my lower spine, and I was paralyzed. And they rushed me to the hospital. And the doctor said, John, you have a condition known as spina bifida occulta, to which I promptly said, Gesundheit.
That's right.
And he told me, he says, your dreams of being a stuntman and a fight director and a physical career are over. You're done. And it was during the time when I was paralyzed that someone gave me a book called The Tao of Jeet Kune Do. And it was the number one selling martial arts book in the world still today by Bruce Lee. And he talks in there about being like water, being flexible of the mind.
Be like water.
And Bruce wrote that book. A lot of people don't know this. He wrote that book when he was strapped to a bed because they told him he would never do martial arts or lift weights again because he damaged his back really bad doing something called a good morning squat. And I don't mean the one you have after coffee. I mean the one you do with weights.
That's right.
Right. So that book started me on my path to recovery pretty much.
Good deal. Now, when you say paralyzed, you're paralyzed from the waist down. And did you lose actually movement, sensation?
I could not move anything below my chest. And it was about 3 months. And it took a lot of doctors and a lot of chiropractors coming in and remanipulating my spine in place. And then they wanted to put a metal pin in to hold my back in place. And I knew that if they ever put the metal pin in, that I would never be able to do a high fall or a roll or any of the stunt work that I wanted to do. So I actually refused the pin, and I started doing exercises with yoga and stretching. And then eventually, once I got out of the bed with weights, and I started building up my back strength so that I could do it. But it took 3.5 months. It took about a month and a half before I started having any movement at all. And then after that, it was, you know, day by day, moment by moment, back to where I could. And then after that, I went on and did over 4,000 live comedy sword fighting stunt shows all over the world, over 28 countries.
All right. Awesome. That's what we like to call perseverance. You know, they don't call me the professor of perseverance if we're not using that word. So perseverance at its finest. Here, again, we're told by doctors, the life as you dreamed and wanted is over. And you kind of laughed in their face, maybe not physically, but mentally and things. And you decide, we'll see what's happening. Hey, Nancy, thank you for coming in. Nancy, appreciate you here. Nancy, this is John Davis. You're going to enjoy his story today. All right, man. So you say, so it took about a month and a half to gain some movement. And then nothing had 3 months later, again, still building your strength and muscles to be able to get up and move.
It took me, you know, it was a year later that I actually did a high fall. It took me a year to get to that space, but it took me 6 months to get to, I could get to a space where I could feel that I could do it. You know, but it was very interesting because my process over the course of time, what I discovered was that the process of that mental flexibility was really a process of managing my personal fear. Because when a doctor tells you that you can't, they're just instilling your mind with fear. And so what I was able to do was able to figure out how to compartmentalize my fears. I also decided that doctor was giving me something he wanted me to live. He probably didn't want me to live it, but you know, I could take his belief about my future or I could take my own belief about my future. And I decided to live my life instead of his. If that makes sense.
I interviewed Captain Charlie Plum. He was a prisoner of war in the late 1960s, 70s in the Vietnam War. And he was prisoner of war for nearly 6 years. Wow. And he said his family told him, psychiatrists, psychologists told his family and other prisoner of war families that they should be put into mental institutions because they would never recover from everything they went through for that nearly 6 years of his, you know, the physical beating, breaking a bone, starvation, not being able to communicate, and just said, put him in a mental institution. They'll never be able to adapt back to the real world. And he said then, and just what you're saying, he said then he wasn't going to allow someone else to write his story of his life.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, we are all the authors of our own experience. And the thing is, we as authors, we get to write each chapter and we get to decide whether we're writing a tragedy or a comedy or an adventure story or a love story. We get to write it, right? No one else gets to write in our book. And the other thing I see is a lot of people will write their book of life and then they'll come to a point where they say the end, right? And sometimes they say the end too early. I could have easily said the end of my whole stunt career at that point. But, you know, by shifting my mindset and getting out of my fears and going into taking every moment, every present moment as a new success, you know, that's the key. You only have one moment that you live. You know, you can't go to the store next Thursday right now, and you can't go to the store last Thursday right now. You can only go right now, right? So your thoughts, words, and deeds are only active together in your present moment. So your job really is to stack successful present moments here so that your subconscious mind gets filled with successful present moments so that even your subconscious mind is telling you you're a successful person. And then the other thing that I see is the people who get an injury like mine or yours, they sit in there in that moment and they pine for that future goal of where they want to be physically. And, you know, No success has ever magically appeared in your present moment. No success has ever done that. The biggest fallacy I see is people thinking they have to get to something. Well, you only live this moment, and the way you live this moment brings whatever future you've set for yourself to your present moment so you can experience it. So you've got to do the things here that are congruent with the outcome that you're trying to achieve.
And what I'm getting also is you're saying, I'm thinking is, you know, these people that think all of a sudden I'm successful, hey, I did this and everything, they don't think about all the baby steps it took to get there and small wins to get there and big failures to get there they're just all of a sudden, like you said, they're thinking way ahead of time, and they don't live for what's today to experience and enjoy, learn, live, loss, and to go from there.
Right. Life is motion. And if you have to realize that, like, it, just like water in the wild, if there's a stream running downhill, that water is full of oxygen and life, and it's healthy water. You take that same water and you let it stop and land in a puddle, and that same water over time becomes stagnant because it's not moving. You got to realize that you're in constant motion. And the idea of allowing yourself to say, I'm done, or I'm stopped, or I never will, means you're just sitting stagnant, right? If something happens in your life, like in your life, you know, you're paralyzed now still. I worked my way out of it, but you know, you didn't stop your life, or you wouldn't be sitting here doing a podcast right now. You created a new future, and you moved towards a better future for yourself. That's the kind of perseverance that I see, not only in people like you, but you know, the I think society as a whole needs. We need to have those people who realize the metaphysical world will tell you right now that you use your affirmations. Well, I don't believe in affirmations. I believe in declarations. But those people who use those affirmations, you imagine somebody who's way overweight like me. I'm a pizzaholic, right?
And, that's right. That's right.
Now, I can sit here right now and say I am a thin person, but I still can't see my shoes. Right. Right. But I can sit here in this moment and say, I'm going to be a thin person. And right now I am eating better, and I am walking a little further, and I am doing those small present moment successes. And then those successes stack behind me. As I said before, the cool part is that most people don't realize is that when you can keep your present moment positive, your subconscious mind will kick in to help you achieve whatever you focus on. So it's like, I'll give you an example. So imagine if you've ever bought a car, and you decide what kind of car you want to buy before you go to the store to buy it, you notice you start seeing that kind of car everywhere, right?
Everywhere,
right? Because your subconscious mind says, oh, he's focused on that car. Let's show him the pathway to that car. So if you suddenly are noticing that everything in your life is negative, what are you focused on? You know, what are you focused on?
Hey, just look here, Nancy, she's legally blind. And her daughter, her doctor's course told her she would never drive or anything. And so she says she's started off with a golf cart, driving for a minute. And the other day she took her first little car drive. So yeah, she's not letting doctors tell her. Now, Nancy, I'm not going to say with you legally blind. Now you better have someone riding with you. So Nancy, you be careful out there. I love you and everything, but well, you be careful.
I love the perseverance.
You let Jesus drive the wheel with you, but you have someone else with you to help guide you.
Go this way, go that way.
That's right. So, like the perseverance. So I told someone the other day, whenever my guest starts using the word perseverance, I need to get a bell. Ding, 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 ding. You said the word of the day, perseverance. You said it. So, all right. All right, John. Now I'm assuming that you've had the attitude that I've had. I don't know if I still have it. I'm assuming it's lingering within me still. But before my injury, I had that attitude that I was invincible. I was going to do what I wanted to. No one's going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me. And with you, of course, wanting to be a stuntman, fight director, and whatnot, you've had to have that invincibility attitude, and that has helped guide you where you're at today.
Absolutely. And actually one of the moments in my life that I'm most grateful for is that moment in that van, because that moment in that van showed me what I was capable of, showed me what I was, how I could take charge of my own life. And, you know, I did 6 USO tours as well. I went to the front lines of Iraq and Afghanistan, and I got out there. And I asked the soldiers on the front line, I said, you know, how can you go out there every day and know that you might get shot at or blown up or killed? And they told me, the first thing they told me is that I had to set my fear aside. So it was the same thing that I had already just learned, right? And then they say, but it's easy to set our fears aside because we could look at our objective. We can get focused on something else, right? The tough part is setting the fears aside. And the interesting thing is that there's a mental process that the mind goes through when we get into any kind of fear. And it's a natural primal fight or flight response that we have. And the first thing we do when we have something fearful is we gasp for air. Oh my God, that's scary, right? Well, most people, when you talk to somebody who's scared, they say, I can't breathe. You know, they don't feel like they can breathe. Well, it's not that they can't breathe. It's that their body is actively trying to hold in as much air as possible so they can run further and faster. You know, if you take an actor who's on stage in Broadway, that actor is trained that if they forget their lines, they're supposed to exhale and relax all their muscles and all their lines come back to their head because they're releasing that fear response. And then they get focused. The first of my five F's is fearlessness. You know, you have to learn how to set your fears aside. You know, and then the next one is focus. The soldier said you have to have an objective, right? It's the same thing with a stuntman. He's on top of a tower getting ready to jump. He's not focused on the tower. He's not focused on the years of training he got to get to that point. He's focused on where he's going to land. You know, he doesn't want to jump and not know where he's going, right? So he's getting fearlessly focused. And then the next one is faith. You have to have confidence that you can do it. And that's a tough one for a lot of people because in our past, a lot of people have told us we could or couldn't, like doctors. And those people are literally attacking your personal faith, your personal belief in yourself and your confidence. So you've got to grab the faith and say, I can. And the way you do that is by making successful present moments because trust is developed by results over time. So the more successful small moments you create, the more you can trust that you can and have the self-confidence. So fearlessly focus with faith. Then the hardest one of all of them is actually follow through, actually getting off your couch and doing something. You know, you want to go out there and actually take an action. For me, lying in that bed, it literally was, you know, trying to flex my back muscles. That was the first thing I had to follow through on. And eventually it got to the point where I was jumping off of a tower into a fall pad that was three stories down. So it literally starts with those small moments, right? So we got fearlessly, focus with faith, and follow through. And the last one was one we started with in the earliest part of our conversation, which is flexibility. Something's going to come up that's going to seem contrary to what we're trying to achieve. And at those moments, we have to realize that it's up to us to keep our eye on our goal and realize this thing only came up so that we can use it as part of the catalyst to get us to our goal, as opposed to letting it stop us.
That's awesome. And I'm writing another book, and I got a mini course going with it. And one of the last tip that I give is, you said, you know, follow through. I tell people to take action, yep. Which with your follow through and my take action is probably the hardest thing to do compared to the other four tips, because right. If they don't take action, nobody can do it for them. And then nothing's getting done.
And the interesting thing about that statement is if they're not taking action, it's because they're back in their fear state again. There's a reason why they're not taking action. I call them a reaction zero rather than an action hero. You know,
that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So if you're just reacting and allowing yourself to be in fear, you're not actually doing this. The real key is to make sure that you can start with that, setting that fear aside. So if you're not moving, ask yourself what your fear is that you're dealing with. And then take a breath, relax, and get focused on what you want to get, where you want to go.
So, John is giving his 5F system to you. If you go to your website, and I'll put a link in the descriptions for you to go find it easier, but you can go get his 5F systems for free to be able to use. Appreciate that, John.
Actually, if they go to my website, they will not find it there. This link is specifically for your audience to go find it. But once they click on that link, they will be on my website. So go ahead and look around and enjoy yourself. But let me just say this. That page is called Free Gift. And when I say free, I mean free. I'm not even going to ask you for an email address or anything. That page is just a place where you can go download. Because I think if your word is only good, if your word is good. And so I said free, so it's free. You don't have to give me anything. But if you're there, look around. That's all I ask.
There you go. I like that you said that your word is your word. That is correct. And I like it when people, and I'm guilty of this, I'll say, hey, come grab your free tips. And what do you got to do? You got to give me your email and stuff, you know, for it. So I guess yeah, you may have made me change my mind. Now I'm going to have to go fix that. But I've seen other people go, come get my free book. You know, you can have my free book. And then, but then they want you to pay $10 to have it shipped to you.
or you'll get the first, you'll get the book, and the book they get on the free gift is called the 5F workbook. Right. But there's a lot of sites you go there and you get this little thing. And at the bottom it says, well, if you really want to do it, you want to send me $250 for this one, you know, and I don't do any of that stuff.
So
my goal is to help people get out of their bed.
so I'll put the link in the description and you can go grab the 5F system workbook from John. And here I'm looking at Nancy. She says, no, she didn't drive. She just started the car for the first time. So, all right. So I'm glad of that one. And she actually has a question for you, John. Yeah. She says, did you ever get to the point where you just wanted to pack it in? And she used to think so because she's an albino. And she thought maybe she was the only albino in the whole world. And she had the thought of giving up.
That first month and a half where I could not move were the darkest times of my life. And I very seriously contemplated suicide because my entire life up to that point had been built towards becoming a stuntman and a fight director. And I wanted to do a very physical career and work with stars. And now I've done that in my life. I've worked with stars. But the thing is that moment of darkness, you know, if you're Christian, you know, you all know the line, though that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil for thou art with me. Right. In that darkness, there is always a light. And the interesting thing is the light's there, but you have to actively look for it. You have to look for the things that are going to get you to that next place and that next space. And for me personally, my light came when I realized how many people had surrounded me with their own love and their own assistance to help me get back on my feet. You're only as strong as the community that you have around you or the people that you allow into your life. And sometimes right now in COVID, you know, those people might be over online or they might be somebody you talk to on a social platform, but realize that the people out there, there are people out there who are there for you and you need to make sure that you lean into them because, you know, they have parts of this experience that you don't have and you have parts they don't have. And we're all in this world thing together.
I'm like that. I believe we're here to help each other, to try to serve each other. And if people are not there to help you be the best that you can be or serve or encourage you, be positive with you, then we need to. I'm not saying you got to kick them out of your life forever, but we need to have a limited time frame with them, not spend 8 hours a day with them. It's hard to get 8 minutes a day when they're that negative. So again, if you don't have to kick them out forever, but limit your time with them and spend with more people. What the Bible says, you know, the iron sharpens iron, and be with them.
I guarantee you this: if you have a negative person in your life and you cut them off, the first thing that negative person is going to do is go to somebody else and point at you and say, "Look what they did to me." You're going to become the next negative thing they talk about, right? The issue, the reason why they're negative is just because they're in a fear state and they're afraid. Now, if you really want to help them, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is be a consequence for the negativity. But you're only a consequence if they know why you did it. So you have to make sure let them know, you know, I think you're a great person, but I just can't handle your negativity, you know, and let them know. Because if they don't ever hear it, it doesn't stop the cycle, right? The other thing you can do is then you can start giving them a lot of positive reinforcement. I had an experience one time. I walked into a restaurant and the waitress came over and she said, I'm having a bad day and I'm sorry, you're going to have bad service. And I'm like, oh, that's a great way to start this conversation. But right. rather than getting to that space of negative with her, I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Why don't you sit down and I'll handle the rest of your tables? Right.
Oh wow! No, that's good. Yeah, I never thought of that. I mean, I've done the point where I say, "Oh, I'm sorry," and then I asked, you know, what happened? Is there anything I can do to help you? But no, I've never said, "Let me take your tables for you."
Right. And the first thing they do is laugh. Right. They laugh about that when they're being. And what I've always found that if I find a waiter or a waitress who's in a bad mood, I take it as my job to make them laugh. And by the end of my meal, they're usually hanging out at my table talking with me because it's kind of a goal in life is to leave people better than you find them. You know, that's what I do. You know, you talk about serving others. You know, the word action means to create motion, start momentum, or to do something. The word hero is the most interesting word. It's someone who achieves an extraordinary result in service of others. And so to be an action hero, you have to be someone who is doing stuff in service of others and achieving good results. Now, that's very different from superheroes. So the main difference between an action hero and a superhero is a superhero is a guy or a woman who wears underwear on the outside of their pants and was irradiated by some sort of goo.
That's so, right. I mean, there you go.
So, and I know we're all on Zoom or on camera right now, and you can't tell where we're wearing our underwear, but I guarantee you, I'm wearing some.
There you go. I got my Superman. Well, actually, I got my Batman sheet and pillow on my bed still. So
people, right, behind
you are learning something. Yes, I got my Hulk in the background and got my Superman stuff around. So yeah, I've told someone the other day, I haven't totally grown up yet, and that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, however you look at it. So
me neither. I watch all the Marvel movies, all the DC movies. I watch every one of them. Star Wars. I'm all over it.
I hear you. Now, how do you, again, we talked about your invincibility. So how, and you mentioned about support group. We got talking about the hanging around to people with the same objective as you to make people better, encouragement and stuff. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask here, now I forgot, done left me, John. John, while I'm thinking, John, tell us how people can find you and then stuff like that.
Okay, great. Well, I'm easy to find. You can go to corporateactionhero.com, and that's you'll find all kinds of things there. What's cool about corporateactionhero.com, there's also a daily vlog. I put up a piece of daily motivation every day on that vlog. It's also those videos that are in that vlog are hosted on YouTube, so there's a YouTube channel with the same vlogs. There's also a podcast I do called The Interaction Hero, where I'm interviewing just amazing people. That's on my website as well. And if you search Corporate Action Hero in Google or any search engine, you're going to find page after page after page of me, because I have worked it.
There you go. Yeah, I tell people when they get through telling how to find them, I say, if nothing else, go ahead and Google, if nothing else. Right. So, right. All right. And no, go ahead.
Corporate action hero is such a great search term because those three words are almost never together. So you search that, it really gives me a bunch of exposure.
There you go. And now, thank you for buying me some time. So we were coming back to, I was just saying, you know, what you went through with your back and other things. How, you know, we mentioned about the invincibility and stuff. How are you or were you, because you said you got to a state of depression and suicidal at one point. So how, and of course, thankfully you got out of that mind frame. So how do you stay so positive during COVID, during whatever? How do you stay so positive?
Well, the first thing I do is I realize that the world is a predominantly positive place anyway. And so, and most people don't see that. And I'll tell you why they don't see it. So imagine, like, I live in Akron, Ohio, and Cleveland's about 30 miles north of me. And so imagine I commuted to Cleveland every day. So I'd probably pass 1,000 cars on the road every day going to work. And every day I might see an accident on the side of the road. Tonight on the news, that accident's going to be on there. You know, the negative stuff is going to be on the news, and we all digest that negative stuff, right? What should be the running title on the news tonight should be that 999 cars made it safely to their destination without a problem, right? So not only is our world predominantly more positive, it's 99% more positive. So you have to realize that your outer experience is being shown to you, just like that car I talked about earlier. When you chose the car, you started seeing the car. When you choose positive, you start seeing positive. When you choose negative, you start seeing negative. If you know a negative person, have you ever noticed they always have something to be negative about? It's because that's
always.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
I don't care how beautiful it is outside. They're going to complain how it's too hot or whatever. So always. And you talking about that great, giving me a analysis there with the cars. So the real thing with me, before my injury, I coached this baseball team. I was 16, 17 years old, coaching with my older brother. And one player we had, he was 10 years old, 11 years old and everything. Well, as we all grew up and everything, he ended up playing on our state football team that went to the state finals. They finished runner up that year. And he ended up going to West Point. Now, not that this means anything, but he was African-American, black. All right. But here's where it does mean something. When he graduated from West Point, I don't know how top of the class he was, but he was up in the top part. Not only did he graduate from West Point, but an African-American black person from West Point as well. Our newspaper ran a story on the front page of a woman in a car accident and had this African-American black guy overcoming poverty from where he grew up buried in the pages from West Point. And I said, how disrespectful is that? That should be the front page. Absolutely. To give an example of everybody, not just African-American, everybody, a great example of what can be, what can happen, what can you can accomplish if you go and do it. And, but right. Yeah, same thing. They had that car accident of that woman.
But you see, the negativity is what sells, you know? So they're pushing out the, oh my gosh, so people feel like they're compelled to watch the news because, oh my gosh, I'm basically they're peddling fear. And mm-hmm. I choose not to live in that fear state. I do check my news every day just to see what's going on in the world, but I don't live on my news, you know, and I don't get manipulated by my news. I look at it and go, okay. And I move on because if you allow yourself to get manipulated by it, you know, their job is to tell you the things that are going on in the world and the things that get the most attention or the negative things, like that car on the side of the road. And for me, it's like I would much rather live in a world where 999 cars made it safely to their destination, right? That's the place I want to live. And it's so funny because I find that when I got negative in that state and lying in that bed, that even in that state, I could find moments to laugh. And, you know, it's like the nurse would come in and say, you know, something just like that waitress. When I said, I'll get up to your tables. I used to tell the nurses, you know, I'll get that for you. Right? And, you know, and they'd laugh, you know, because they knew I was just having a great time joking with them, you know, but you can always find a moment to laugh. And that moment of laughter is a moment of joy. It's a moment of positivity. And you just make as many of those as you can.
I would love now that I'm doing this podcasting, I ain't even been at it a year. And I tell people I'm not a professional, but I try to work to get better at it. But I would love to contact the nurses and people, therapists that work with me. Of course, that's back in 1983. I don't know how to find them. I've tried looking Facebook. I've tried, and I don't know, but I would love to talk to them and see how they're doing in life and everything now. So, right. Man. Probably, that would be good.
Find out from the hospital that you were at.
Yeah, I knew Vicky. Whew, I was in love with Vicky. she was a good one. But I knew she later had moved to Arizona from out of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Another one had moved. Randy had moved to Texas, and so I wouldn't know how to get a hold of them. But right. I wish there was a way I can meet up with them and thank them how they took care of me and let them see how far I have come. So right. That would be a great podcast. And not as good as this one, though. Not as good as this one with John Davis, stuntman and all around great guy with the 5F system. Again, we'll put that in the description for everyone to go grab that 5F system workbook and use it to better your life. John, man, this has been awesome. I appreciate you being here. I want to finish up here. If you can give a great, powerful statement that's going to help someone struggling today to help them get through here.
So you only live one moment, and this moment is your moment. And the only thing that you have in that moment is your choice. So if you can make a choice in this moment to stay positive and successful, your tomorrow is assured.
There you go. Awesome. And again, stay positive, persevere, keep moving forward. Thank you for everybody. Nancy, I say everyone, and Nancy, it's you just come in today. So we appreciate you coming in and putting in some input with us and having a good time and enjoying yourself, enjoying you coming in. And so one thing she put, we talk about our beliefs, and she says she still believes in Santa Claus. So there you go. Miracles do happen. There you go. Miracles do happen. And they still come. So anyone else is coming in on the replay, thank you for coming in. John, thank you again for coming in. The replay people, if you know someone who is struggling, hurting, they need some help, please share this out to them. This is not to be kept a big secret. Again, you don't have to be paralyzed, such as John and I, him temporarily compared to me permanently. You don't have to be like that, but someone struggling, the information is still going to help the same. And everyone else, if I can do anything to help, you can go to my website, Persevere. No, it's not. You can go to my website, professorofperseverance.com, and shoot me an email. Look around, see what else can help you with. John, everyone else, do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.